Just to let you guys know, Hanzo Gracie loves the jiu-jitsu geeks. Extending control, a buckle and bump, redirect your
force. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. I'm E.T. and with me is, of course, co-host Brian and Aaron. It's the first time in a while we get Aaron with us. How you doing, Aaron?
Doing well.
We're pretty lucky. We have a really cool guest today. We always get top-notch guests when we come down here to Virginia Beach and roll at the Gustavo Machado Academy, our parent academy. Today we have, who do we have, Brian?
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, pro MMA fighter, Greg Walker.
Hey, welcome, Greg.
To the podcast, Greg.
How's it going, guys?
Good, man. Good.
Good. So, Greg, just tell us about your background. You're a wrestler, and then at some point, you know, you jumped into Jiu-Jitsu. It's just kind of a bird's eye view of your wrestling and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu background.
So I started wrestling in the seventh grade, from middle school all the way through high school, wrestled. Didn't have the most successful, you know, wrestling career, but I definitely learned the fundamentals and how to wrestle and fell in love with being on the mat. So post-high school, right away, joined the Navy. Was always kind of searching for something to get back into, you know, like, you know, they say once you kind of fall in love with the mat, nothing else is the same, right? Luckily, I ran into a guy that was on the All-Navy wrestling team, looked into that, got on that team for about a month. That was a tough, you know, tough 4 weeks of my life, like the hardest thing I've ever done, you know, and didn't make the team. I was alternate, and, you know, the Navy is kind of stingy, so they're like, hey, we don't want to pay for you to be down here anymore. Go back to your real job. But basically what I took off, you know, from that was an amazing experience and what I needed to get to. So I was still down in, mind you, at this point, I was in Southern Maryland.
Okay.
You know, out in the middle of nowhere, started picking up some jiu-jitsu here and there off of guys in the gym, you know, kind of like your standard, just like basic jiu-jitsu. 2008, moved down here and ran into Gustavo and met some guys, and that's kind of how I got started in jiu-jitsu. You know, I had the opportunity to actually learn at a Brazilian jiu-jitsu academy and been here ever since.
Right. So how old are you now?
I just turned 28. Well, not just 28, I'm about 28 and a half or so.
Yeah.
So,
how's that transition from wrestling to jiu-jitsu? I've heard other people say that it can be hard to, like, because they don't want to embrace really the guard or anything. They don't want to be on their backs because it's just ingrained in them for so long. Did you experience that?
For me, it wasn't a problem being on my back. For me, it was like learning how to slow down a little bit. My mentality, my mindset was always go at 100% all the time. There was no throttle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was either full open or full closed. So learning how to take what I learned and apply it at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's times in jiu-jitsu where you don't necessarily need to go full force explode because you might land yourself in a triangle or arm bar. It was like, okay, you have a red light and a green light. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have a green light. So go use that time to be explosive. And that was the challenge for me, is figuring out, you know, when to use that attribute of explosiveness and speed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just rolled with you, and I noticed, I was trying to take like mental notes of how you rolled, and you know, there is a cadence that you have in your rolls where it's, you do have the stop go stop go roll, you know, it's that explosiveness at the right second, and I admire that, because that's such a quality of a black belt, you know, a high level black belt.
I admire it now. Did not admire it about a half.
In the roll, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Well, I got caught in two loop chokes. Yeah,
he got you in that too.
Yeah, me too. That's all three of us. All right.
Trifecta.
Tomorrow, drill and loop choke tonight.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter.
You're exactly right.
So, how did you find Gustavo? Was this the first gym you came to, or
it wasn't the first gym. I started training at work. You know, they had my last job was supporting Naval Special Warfare, so they like to bring in a lot of combatives-oriented, you know, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, and all that stuff. I started with Lynx Academy because it was, like, an opportunity that I knew of. Like, hey, you can go to Lynx, you can train jiu-jitsu here. I was like, all right, cool, because I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
I trained there for about 6 months. I didn't really fit in there. I felt like as a team, and I had met Gustavo at work at the time, and the only thing I can remember from back then was he was so nice, and I met him. A couple weeks later, he remembered my name, and I was like, that's crazy. This dude remembered my name. I was like, I want to go train with this guy. If I'm going to learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it should be from a Brazilian.
Mm-hmm.
So after I kind of like felt like I wasn't fitting in at the first academy, I moved over here, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's your schedule? It's probably changed a little bit, but what's your training schedule been like? Like, how many days a week, maybe from white, you know, to blue, to purple, to brown, to black? Did it pick up at all, or have you been pretty consistent X number of days a week? Or
it definitely picked up. When I first started, I was trying to marry, like, weightlifting, conditioning, and jiu-jitsu. Yes. So, like, maybe in the beginning I was doing, like, 3 to 4 times a week, and then I kind of figured out, like, right now weightlifting's not really doing me any good, so I started – you know, as my weightlifting and, like, extracurricular physical activities went down, my jiu-jitsu went up. Right. So, it, you know, I figured out, okay, I'm getting better at training 4 days a week. All right, I get even better when I train 5 days a week. And, I, you know, I really figured out the more time I put on the mat, the better I'm getting. In about 2012, I got in some trouble. You know, I made a mistake, you know, and got a DUI. Mm-hmm. Quit drinking completely, which opened up to, like, now I'm not, like, throwing garbage down into my body, and I was able to train 6 days a week. And for a while, I even, like, played around with training every day, you know, for a good amount of time. I was training 7 days a week, but then I realized I need to throttle back. I give myself one day to, like, mentally refresh. Mm-hmm. If I'm on the mat 7 days a week, my mind goes to mush.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, give myself 6 days, and that's, like, been my balance for the last couple of years. Like,
where are you at with extra stuff? Because I heard you talking about going to a gym and working out sometimes. So where are you at with that now? How many days a week are you fitting that in? Because it seems like you found a good balance now that you like, I would imagine.
Yeah. Fortunately, like, so the command I'm at now for my job now, we PT as a group, like, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay.
In the morning. So I take that time, you know, to, like, I either work out with them, or if I have a fight coming up, I tell them, hey, I'm going to go for a good long run on my own. So that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I do some sort of, like, body weight conditioning or running, cardio, you know, real good cardiovascular type exercise. Saturday mornings is I'll go over to Iron Asylum Gym. Awesome. One of the best gyms in this area, you know, for doing what you want to do. It's not like a Planet Fitness. It's not anything else. It's like, it's a place to go to get strong, to work on what you need to work on, and they don't care. They'll let you do whatever you want as long within reasons, you know?
Right?
So, yeah, Saturday mornings I try and, like, okay, I'm gonna hit that up. I set that time aside and do that.
Do you stick with that all the way up until your fights? The strength, do you keep that in there? Do you back off and pick up the conditioning more? I know you said with the PT you might, but
I'll back off the weights because at some point, you know, I'm just not feeding. I'm not putting enough food in my body to warrant, you know, lifting weights. It's kind of like I'll prioritize, like, as I get closer to the fight, all right, I need more drilling time, jiu-jitsu time, striking, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what took me forever to figure out was, like, that weightlifting time is a supplement. When I was younger, I would, like, try and go as hard as I can and leave there, like, exhausted. But then I show up to jiu-jitsu exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, all right, let me use this as a supplement. When I run, it's a supplement. When I lift, it's a supplement. It's not to, like, completely tire myself out because I want to be able to show up here for jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai fully ready. You know, I treat it like my job. I need to be ready to do work here just like anything else.
Yeah. Are you doing one jiu-jitsu session a day, or do you do multiple?
Just one. So Monday through Thursday, I train here at night from 6 to 9.
Okay.
You know, I'm here. You know, I'll teach the beginner's class Monday to Wednesdays, and then do the 7:30 to 9 class, you know, all the time. And then Tuesday, Thursday, you know, we have Muay Thai from 6 to 7, Jiu-Jitsu 7 to 8, MMA 8 to 9. And I'm there. So Monday through Thursday, I'm here 6 to 9. Friday, we really don't have much. If I have a fight coming up, I'll go cross-train at a Muay Thai gym, get some pad work. Saturday, Iron Asylum in the morning, Jiu-Jitsu from 10:30 to 12, and then right away go over to the Muay Thai gym for open sparring from 12 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday's my off day.
Sunday's your off day.
Yeah, for me and my wife.
Mm-hmm. What do you do as far as recovery? Are you going to, like, yoga? I know that Gustavo's affiliated with Hot House Yoga. Or do you do anything like?
Not on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while I'll go, but mainly stretching, taking advantage of some physical therapy at work. You know, I had some stuff worked on, so I'll definitely stretch, foam roll, and like trigger point release.
Okay.
You know, all that kind of, you know, your basic kind of physical therapy stuff.
Stuff they teach you for
anything.
Okay.
I wish I had some, like, magic pill that, like, I don't feel sore, but that doesn't exist.
They do make those, by the way.
Yeah. Well,
it's not long term.
You learn to love them real quick.
You learn to like them real quick, man.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, that's cool. How do you maintain your diet? You were just talking about eating enough and stuff like that. How do you maintain your diet? Because you're a lean, strong guy. but you're working out constantly and you are burning a lot of calories and expending a lot of energy. How do you maintain your diet to keep up the lifestyle?
Basically, and it's just like you said, it is a lifestyle. So I make the right choices. Like, I'm human just like anybody else. Like, sometimes I want to go eat a Sonic burger. You know, I eat it, and then I feel horrible. I'm like, that was a terrible mistake. You know? Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. I've gotten into a rhythm. I have my, just like you said, cadence, you know? I eat pretty much almost the same thing day in, day out. I wake up, I eat some Greek yogurt in the morning with, like, honey, granola, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Lunch is, like, some chicken with either, you know, a carb, you know, some noodles or something. I'll snack when I get home from work on some nuts or something, and then I get home and it's more chicken and some grains, you know. Yeah. It's just eating. I eat at the same time every day, you know, about every 4 hours I'm kind of munching on something. Throughout the years, I've played with all sorts of different things to try and figure out what works for me, and I've just found that's what works for me, is eating a nice lean diet, not too crazy on the bread and the carbs, but, you know, if I do eat it, it's in midday.
Yeah.
So that way I burn it off, mm-hmm. and at nighttime, because I eat so late, I'm not going to eat like a big mashed potato and like, you know, something super heavy right before I go to bed.
Do you eat after you train?
Yes.
I do too. And yeah. My body's gotten used to eating at like 10:30 at night now, unfortunately.
Me too. I've experimented with both.
Have you?
I get home from work about 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. and what, Monday and Wednesday are classes at 8. And that's even kind of too close to have dinner, so yeah. I have it after. It's really late.
I tried just a couple weeks ago. I was like, you know, I'm going to eat before.
I did the exact same thing.
Terrible idea. It's an absolutely awful idea. I felt
a little snack will do it, but
yeah,
that's tough with the jiu-jitsu.
It is tough to do. I think the biggest thing for selling people on this lifestyle is that people realize that they can't just eat everything they want.
Nah.
But I tell people, you're just saying, your body stops wanting the junk.
Yes.
It stops wanting it, and it's easy to go, you know what, I eat chicken every single day or lean fish or whatever.
Yeah.
I want that. Yeah. But, you know, you got to get through that hurdle of, oh, I'm craving sugars or I'm craving rice and carbs and all that crap.
Well, it gives you a good instant feedback of, well, like once you're, you know, in better condition or whatever, you're serious about coming into jiu-jitsu, like you eat this candy bar and like, oh gosh. Bad.
That latte was a bad choice. Yeah.
Yeah, then you can come in here. I remember when I first started, like I couldn't quite figure out how soon or I needed to eat before training. And so I would like eat too soon and come in with like a full stomach or not eat soon enough or eat too far away. And I'm just like shaky the entire time. Yeah. So I'm glad I finally figured something that worked out.
Well, two things I want to talk to you about is a super fight that you recently had and your MMA career. Let's start with MMA, because you probably got to that maybe sooner in the timeline. I'm sure you did. So when was your first MMA fight? Were you incorporating a striking art into that? And kind of how did all that come about?
My first MMA fight was the summer of 2013.
Oh, okay.
We started our striking program here, I believe, like the end of 2011, beginning of 2012. So I started working boxing and Muay Thai about a year or so before I even stepped on in the cage. And at that point, when my first MMA fight, I was a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, and I specifically waited until I was a brown belt. You know, coming up through the ranks, everyone's like, man, you'd be a good MMA fighter. I was like, blue belt. I was like, I don't want to be a run-of-the-mill average dude in Virginia Beach fighting at blue belt. I waited till I was a brown belt, so even if I get punched in the face, I still know how to do a single leg, still know how to do my jiu-jitsu, you know, because like they always say, once you get punched in the face, that belt level is going to go down one. Do I necessarily, like, believe that? No, but there is some, like, validity to that when you do get hit. You're not really thinking as clearly. So I wanted to have a really good base in wrestling and jiu-jitsu before I stepped in the cage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the striking is still the developing aspect of my game. You know, it's definitely – I don't feel it's not too lacking, but it's getting there, you know, to where I'm really getting more proficient in it. Mm-hmm. And it just takes – just like anything else, takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you you train primarily in the gi? How often do you train no gi?
Just for MMA classes, really. Like, Gustavo does a really good job of everything that is in the gi kind of translates to no gi. The only thing that's different is just a slight grip adjustment.
Right.
So I love the gi. That is my favorite time. Like, you know, when I get ready for MMA fights and no gi super fights, towards the end of that preparation, I'm like, I just want to put a gi on again. You know, I love the gi. That's, you know, probably why I got a jiu-jitsu black belt, but you know, I seem to do better no gi if you look at like my competition history, but I do enjoy the gi. It's a lot more fun to me than no gi.
I love watching your MMA fights because, yeah, you're exactly right. You're doing like the passes and stuff. That's seeing Gustavo show in the gi. You just, you know, redo the grips a little bit, and that's it, man. You're passed and you're gone. So it's cool to see.
When's your next fight? You have a fight coming up?
Not scheduled. I'm talking with my manager. I'm trying to do one, like, basically one a quarter. I want to fight four times this year as long as I stay healthy, no injuries. So we're shooting for May. I don't have anything set right now because I just came off my last fight. So I took a little bit of time off, and I kind of just back off a little bit, chill out, and I don't even – like, I won't get on my manager until about – maybe March or so. Once I'm 8 weeks out, I'm like, all right, let's get a fight. Let's start pushing. You know, I pick my training up. I expect a fight, and so we'll see.
This can be your second or third pro fight?
It'll be my third.
Be your third pro fight? And what's the? I know this is a silly question, maybe, but what's the long term goal with MMA for you?
I want to fight. I want to get as far as I can in the next about 4 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, definitely make that transition into teaching. Basically, what I view that as, you know, my pro MMA career is kind of like it's going to be building my, I guess you could say, reputation or however you want to put it, my rap sheet. You know, yeah. Greg Walker, professional MMA fighter. This is the record. You know, because that's going to draw people to want to train with you.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, is a good background. You know, whatever I teach, I try and be good at teaching. You know, or good at be able to accomplish. If I teach a knee slice pass, I should be able to do that knee slice in actual, you know, combat. So I want to get good at MMA so I can teach MMA and have something, a base. Like, hey, I've done this in fights. This works. I'm going to teach it for you guys. You know?
That's very admirable because I've been in some classes, not here, or I've heard of people that, like, they want to show, like, some random shit they saw on whatever website and – I was like, have you done this? Like, I helped teach the Thursday class, and my stuff is so – it's just basic stuff. I was like, I know how to do this, and I can, so that's what I'm going to teach. And it's really boring. We're going to do it a bunch of times. It was like kind of like your class today, how we just did the same – we did, two techniques maybe three. We just did a lot of reps. I really appreciated that. Is that kind of how you like to train? Did you get that from your wrestling days? Just a lot of repetitions.
Definitely, you know, I've been on the mat for a long time, so I've had a lot of different kind of coaching styles. For me, I find that I learn best with a few techniques.
Mm-hmm.
If you try and show me 6-7 things, I'm going to be like, all right, what is all this? And I'm going to forget a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I tell a lot of people in my beginner's class, like, when I first started, mm-hmm. I would only remember a third of what you showed me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you showed me a cross lapel choke, I only remember like a third of that technique. And I might miss something here or there when trying to go for it live. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, like, we would revisit that. Oh, like, okay, I have the foundation of it. All right, here's a little adjustment. Oh, okay, now I'm going to remember that.
Uh-huh.
And so for me, less is more. If I can show less, I can concentrate on it more
mm-hmm.
and, like, really delve into the meat and potatoes of it. So mm-hmm. that way I'm not missing small details.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't overwhelm people with 7-8 techniques
because
mm-hmm. then you're just like, well, I don't even remember what I learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many amateur fights do you have before you went pro?
I had six.
You had six. And just I think I understand it is you can go pro when you and your coach and your manager decide to. Am I right? Because I've seen a lot of pro fighters that don't have your pedigree and seem like they were just rushed to a pro fight. So is it when you felt like you had enough amateur experience and that you felt like you're ready to step up to the next level of competition, or how did that work for you?
State dependent. So at one point, myself and Alexi Koku, he's the other MMA fighter, and he's a brown belt here in Jiu-Jitsu. We got to a point where like, okay, we want to make that cross, but where do you go? You know, we didn't have the connections. Virginia, yeah, you could fight once, and if you basically convince a promoter to pay you money to fight, then yeah, you can fight pro. North Carolina, you had to have, you know, X amount of fights with a winning record in order for the commission to grant you that professional license.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, depending on the state, you know, Virginia is kind of the Wild West for MMA. They're a little bit behind on like the rules. If you guys, I don't know if you keep up on it, but they just passed back in October blood work for amateurs.
Oh, just.
That's important.
That's just, okay.
When every other state is already doing blood work, eye exams for amateurs, mind you. So
yeah.
Like I said, Virginia is a little bit on like the slow end of that. They're coming around with it, which is good. But, yeah, it was a difficult road to kind of figure out how to go pro. But
yeah, that's where you have good management, good people in your corner. I think that's pretty important.
Speaking of management, when did you get – is Gustavo your manager, or do you have, like, a sports combat manager?
Actually, so Sucker Punch Entertainment, mm-hmm. Brian, is up. He's actually in your guys' area, Richmond. Mm-hmm. Oh. He is my manager. I got hooked up through Mackens Semizer, who's a mm-hmm. – he fought in UFCs from this area, mm-hmm. Black Belt. He trains over at Pride. He runs a jiu-jitsu program. So I was talking to him, and I needed some kind of help, some guidance. And I was like, I don't know where to go because at a jiu-jitsu black belt, no amateur fighter would want to fight.
Yeah.
No. You know, and then – but yet I don't have the connections for a pro. So he gave me, Brian Butler's information, and I talked to him, sent him a highlight video, and we mm-hmm. chatted for a little bit, and he's – you know, he agreed to take me on as a client. So that was kind of like my door, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to step in and make that professional debut.
So Aaron had also mentioned the jiu-jitsu super fight you had recently. How does that get set up? Do they call your manager, or how did you campaign for that, or how did that come about?
The jiu-jitsu is kind of like, that's my own. I kind of campaign. Mm-hmm. That's on the side, basically.
Okay.
That was the first time, you know, I'll never probably ever forget this. The first time somebody emailed me to fight, they're like, hey, do you want to fight Gary Tonin? And I was like, well, what kind of question is that? Of course I do.
Well, first I'd have to ask my dipshit friends who sent me this email as a joke.
Yeah. Well, I mean, funny. Who's Renzo?
Yeah, who's Renzo? Yeah.
Luckily, it was the guys from The Good Fight. They put on great shows. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So The Good Fight, you know, I've been fighting for them at their tournament since I was a white belt. And they hit me up, and he sent me the email. I knew exactly who it was. I was like, of course I will, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll make that drive up to New York and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know there's footage of you out there, but there's so much footage of him, you know, of Gary Tonin. Do you study his game, or how do you not overload yourself with worrying about what he's going to do but still – understand what he's good at? How do you put that in your mind when you train?
I mean, as you guys know, and Gustavo's a great at strategy. Mm. He's a mastermind of, like, you know, okay, I see what he does, and this is what we're going to do to counter that, you know. And we came in there with a game plan. We did a bunch of drilling, mm-hmm. and what he ended up hitting me with was something that, like, I had never really even seen before. You know, I'm not one to get too deep into film study. I kind of watch a couple things here and there, but mm-hmm. I try not to, like, overwhelm myself. Yeah. I know what he's going to go for. I try, but I'm not a leg lock guy, so I don't know every setup that he's got. And he did hit me with an interesting setup from the double underpass. Mm. When he was doing it to me.
Okay.
So he had me in double unders, mm-hmm. and threw his leg over.
Okay.
And he knew I was going to try and spin out, because as soon as he went from my heel, I was like, I need to spin. Mm-hmm. I felt it kind of release just a little bit, and as soon as I stopped, he clamped back on. So
yeah.
I mean, the guy's — it's Gary Tonin, you know.
It's Gary Tonin, yeah.
Yeah, so next level.
Half of that, I'd want to stop you, like, what the hell are you doing? Teach me this. But then I'm like, wait.
The same way when we were rolling today, I was like, I want to ask him some questions.
Yeah, but not good at time, because I'm going to pass out before I get the words out. Yeah.
Exactly. So when you were leading up to that fight, did you do like how you do a training camp for an MMA fight? Is that kind of what you did for the Gary fight?
Yeah, so I would just show up here in no-gi attire, and mm-hmm. whoever would roll with me would just take their gi top off.
Okay.
And, you know, really focus on, like, hey, go for his legs, you know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my games started just, you know, adjusting. You know, I don't try and change everything up. I'm just going to adjust mm-hmm. things here and there, with keeping on my knees, keep my heels underneath my butt, mm-hmm. which worked for about, you know, 5.5 minutes in the fight. And mm-hmm. then towards the end, that's when he caught me, and, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah, just like I said, adjusting small things here and there, looking for the strategy and sticking to that strategy, mm-hmm. you know, which it worked for a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say it didn't go your way, I'm sure, you know, obviously, but you had some, you know, big pluses from that fight. You know?
Lasting that long with somebody his caliber speaks of your caliber itself.
Yeah.
So
it's a good fight. It's very competitive. So.
It was funny to listen to this. I love when Gustavo is near the camera.
You can hear him.
Yeah.
You can pick his voice out.
You can do anything. Yeah. Speaking of that, also, your MMA fight that you had most recently, was that your wife on the? Is that her voice mm-hmm. that you can hear? Because she was in that fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. We decided. She's actually licensed to corner me.
Okay.
Which makes it easy. You know, as a pro professional, you can have three people in your corner. So she, as long as we're able to, you know, she's going to come with me and, mm-hmm. and help out in the corner and be there, because it's much easier for her to be there and see it than mm-hmm. be at home, not, you know, waiting for that call.
I go a little crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, she does well, you know, so I like having her there,
it's,
you know,
awesome having the support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's easy not to have to tell her later what you did and embellish. She's like, no, you did not. This is what you did.
Hit him with a head kick, babe. You took him down.
Really?
I didn't see that. I was there. I saw it.
So just a hypothetical, if you got a call for a good fight versus a good jiu-jitsu match, which one would you take if they were in the same day? What would you take?
I mean, at this point, I would probably say MMA.
Really?
I've this year, I'm really trying to focus, like I said, fight four times. So a lot of that's just staying on it and trying. I'm really trying to make a good run with MMA right now. I know I have a limited amount of time, you know, like I said, the next 4 to 5 years. So I'm going to kind of try and buckle down as much as I can and focus on my competition time being MMA.
Well, if the Bellator last night taught us anything, you have another 20 some years, my friend. Yeah, you might not be as crisp.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, last night we're talking the day after Ken Shamrock and Hoyce Gracie had their long-awaited third fight. I don't know if y'all were waiting for it.
The rubber match.
The rubber match that nobody asked for.
The rubber's lost some of its pliability
at this point.
Over the years.
Yeah. Yikes. Well, that's interesting. What do you have?
How long have you been? You were talking about your wife earlier. You recently got married, right? How long have you been married?
I've been married 8 months now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got married June of last year.
And is she training now?
She is. When she can. She's getting pretty busy. She's starting school.
Okay.
She works over. She's a receptionist at Hot House.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then she's also getting kind of – she grew up riding horses, so she's getting into the horse scene around this area. Mm-hmm. So her plate's filling up, you know, because she just moved here and – she's finding time to train, you know, it's not, she doesn't love it as much as I do, which is sure. No worries. You know, I tell her, I was like, I don't expect you to fall in love with jiu-jitsu.
And I hate horses. So,
you know, it's same thing. Like, it's not like I didn't grow up with, horses and she didn't grow up on the mat kind of like I did, you know? So, but she has something that she feels just as passionate about, like I do jiu-jitsu and fighting, you know, it's good, you know? Yeah. So anything she wants to do with that, I'm like, do it. You got it. Like, it's all you, you know?
Always props if you find a girl that supports you to have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's rough.
She knows what a lapel choke is, and she'll choke you. So.
I was going to ask, have you gone over, like, the self-defense stuff?
Yeah, she's trained. She has a little background, you know? She started in Mississippi even before we met, and then as we, you know, as our, basically, the relationship has progressed, you know, we've been on the mat, and she knows. I always make sure that she kind of, she's aware, you mm-hmm. know, she's learned, and she does well. She's mm-hmm. a little spitfire. If you guys didn't meet her, you know, you'll know how much of a spitfire she is. So anybody that tries to go with that, you know, they're going to have a hard fight on their hands.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add?
No. This has been great.
It was great. We all great rolled class. With you, and we all fell to the loop choke and other stuff. I got to say, man, that was a fun roll. I can tell that this is your passion, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just that your teaching method was really good, so I appreciate the class you gave us.
Do you incorporate a lot of the wrestling type, chain wrestling drills or things like that into your classes?
I do, especially on an advanced class. Beginner's class, I'm very fortunate to have a curriculum that Gustavo kind of established. Mm-hmm. It's actually up on the wall over there, mm-hmm. which includes some judo and also some basic wrestling takedown. So, I'm on Facebook just like everybody else. I always see the memes about how jiu-jitsu players don't know takedowns. So that's like my personal goal is like, okay, if I'm going to teach jiu-jitsu, I'm going to teach takedowns, because I learned the importance of that in wrestling mm-hmm. was if you take somebody down, you know, you start not only 2 points ahead of a match, but it's also a mental mm-hmm. like, you know, win for you too. That person's like, man, this guy took me down. But also, one, I got the takedown, two, I'm on top. It's like, mm-hmm. why not shoot for a takedown?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I always like to try and build the takedown, you know, for everybody. I mean, if I know the information, why not share it? Yeah. You know,
I felt good in the class with the laps and the ab work, and then the single to double to high crotch started, and I got real tired real quick.
We walked in here. This whole gym was cold.
It was real cold.
Didn't stay that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we come back to where we are now, and I'm like, oh god, it feels so good. It feels so nice.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, thank you for your time. Thank you for the class. It's mm-hmm. it's been so cool to watch somebody, you know, from your from the main school, you know, come up, you know, watched you come up all the way through the ranks. It's always cool to watch you fight and compete and take your class. So thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
Greg, I know you do private lessons, so let's throw out some information here in case anybody wants to reserve some of your time.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone's interested in anything, you know, working private, all you got to do is shoot me an email. I'm on Facebook, you know, just like everybody else. It's simple. Whatever you want to work on, takedown, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, MMA, self-defense, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, use my time and share the knowledge, you know, that's been passed to me. So
we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming down and training. You know, I like to train with all you guys. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And
you can find Gustavo online at GustavoMachado.com, correct?
Mm-hmm, I think so. Or I think it's Machado. Yeah, just Google it. And
GustavoMachado.com.
Yep, it's right there. Yeah, right in front of us. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks. Bye. I appreciate it.